This episode is brought to you by Odmo's Pizza in Cambie. Handmade awesome pizza plus craft beer, wine, and cider. Delivered. Call them today at 503-263-8444.
Welcome to Now Hear This, Cambie,
your source for news.
The threat of a possible teacher strike was avoided this week.
There's a new irresistibly cute creature winning over fans, and its name is Scootaloo.
Sports?
It's like Lucy in the football. You want to kick a field goal, but they take it away from you.
We had to learn how to win.
Goal can't be in the last second of the game!
And interesting conversations.
Because I'm one of the strongest girls ever, and I know that for a fact.
I just really enjoy writing gossip as if I was a bear.
With an old maid daughter that make the best moonshine in the coast.
If it would have hit me in the face, I think I would have died. I really do.
I guarantee you would have died, man. Are you kidding me?
Multiple Clackamas Fire District units responded to a brush fire that broke out near the historic Oregon City Municipal Elevator early Sunday morning. Officials said witnesses first reported the brush fire was burning near the elevator and moving quickly from the bottom of the cliff toward the high street on top of the bluff. Firefighters attacked the blaze from the top of the cliff and from Railroad Avenue at the bottom. Crews were quickly able to contain the blaze and put it out, officials said. No one was injured and no evacuations were needed. Investigators are looking into what caused the fire to break out. Clackamas Fire, Cambie Fire, and other area districts are currently at the extreme risk level for fire danger, meaning even recreational fires and fire pits are prohibited. Does anyone else feel like Al Pacino yet? Just when we thought we were out of the pandemic, they pull us right back in. Governor Kate Brown's sudden reversal on universal masks for schools and state offices, regardless of vaccination status, this week was greeted with groans from a pandemic-exhausted Oregon. The announcement was not without merit or out of the blue. It followed new guidance from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, which recommended universal indoor masking in schools for the 2021-2022 academic year. Amid a dizzying surge in new COVID-19 infections and hospitalizations in Oregon and across the country. But it also came less than a month after Brown lifted the statewide mask mandate and other business restrictions, promising at that time that they would never return, and essentially declared a cautious victory over the virus. Continued resistance from some segments of whom the pandemic and attempts to address it, including the vaccine rollout and public health measures such as masks, have become a political issue, was to be expected. What officials appear to have not fully anticipated was the rise of a new and even more contagious variant of the coronavirus, dubbed Delta, which is said to be up to twice as infectious as COVID Classic and has quickly become the dominant variant in Oregon and many other parts of the country. The Oregon Health Authority reported more than 1,000 new confirmed or presumptive cases 3 times in the past 4 days, peaking at 1,076 Friday, numbers the state had not seen on a regular basis since January 2021 at the height of the pandemic. Nearly 300 Oregonians are currently hospitalized for COVID-19, a state official said, 97 of whom, about one-third of the total patients, are intensive care beds. And according to new modeling from the OHA, those numbers are expected to continue to rise. July's effective reproduction rate, the number of people that one infected person will pass on a virus to on average, clearly shows the impact Delta has had on Oregon. The figure was estimated at 1.58 through July 14th, more than double the 0.74 reported 1 month earlier. At that level of transmission, over the next 2 weeks, Oregon could see an average of 1,200 new cases and 95 new hospitalizations per day, according to the modeling report from the state health officials. However, the report also showed the positive impact vaccination has had on the pandemic, even as the rollout slows to a virtual crawl, with slightly less than a third of the state's adult vaccinations declining the free jab. According to the state's officials, Oregon's reproduction rate in July would have been more than double, or 3.18 new cases emerging from every infection without the vaccine. And though the risk is not zero, being vaccinated greatly reduces one's risk of contracting a serious or life-threatening case of COVID-19. More than 95% of those hospitalized with the coronavirus are unvaccinated, health officials say, and the vaccine's immunity is more than four times more effective than even the antibodies granted from natural immunity, contracting the virus and then recovering. Today's modeling report, although sobering, confirms the importance of protecting ourselves and others by getting vaccinated against COVID-19. Dr. Dean Seidlinger, state health officer and epidemiologist, said, "By vaccinating more people, we can more quickly drive down hospitalizations and new cases. Wearing masks and avoiding large gatherings also makes a difference. The state this week recommended that all Oregonians wear masks in indoor public settings, regardless of vaccination status, though officials have stopped short of mandating it. And OHA is tracking the first known outbreak linked to an outdoor entertainment event, with at least 58 cases linked to the Pendleton Whiskey Music Fest held on July 10th. For more information about the vaccine and where you can find it, visit covidvaccine.oregon.gov. If you have questions about taking the vaccine, consult your healthcare provider. Pickleball fans, rejoice! Pickleball, a hybrid of tennis, badminton, and ping pong, and by some accounts, the fastest growing sport in America, it's coming to Cambie. The Cambie City Council on Wednesday approved on first reading plans to build a tournament-ready suite of four regulation-sized pickleball courts at North Maple Street Park for the low bid of $395,000 by R.L. Raymers Co. R.L. Raymers operates out of a newly constructed facility in the Cambie Pioneer Industrial Park and just recently successfully completed a major renovation at the Cambie Wastewater Treatment Plant. The latest project also includes lighting, fencing, benches between the existing splash pad and the new pickleball courts, and a second gazebo at the site. The possibility of bringing pickleball to Cambie has been in the works since at least 2019, when the council agreed to demolish the city's aging tennis courts to make way for the new spray park. At the time, city officials said the tennis courts would be rebuilt in a new location at Maple Street Park. But the conversation gradually shifted to pickleball based on input from residents and the Cambie Parks and Recreation Advisory Board. Pickleball, essentially a life-size table tennis, is an exceedingly popular activity in the United States, particularly with older adults, according to City Administrator Scott Archer. It's a very popular activity, so I think it will be very well utilized locally, said Archer, whose professional background was largely in parks development and administration before joining the city of Cambie in November. And I also think it will end up being a new draw for people to come in from out of town. I think there will be tournaments and that sort of thing. The project will be financed with park maintenance fees, system development charge SDS funds, which are fees paid for by developers and earmarked for certain infrastructure uses, and private donations. Archer said one Cambie resident, business owner, and pickleball enthusiast made a donation of $25,000 to help move the project forward, though he wishes to remain anonymous for the time being. I'm not prepared to say that name just yet, Archer told the city council last week. I'm encouraging this individual to come forward and be recognized at a city council meeting. He's being very modest and just wants to support this endeavor and help promote it. For those who still prefer classic tennis, Canby High School's 8 courts are open to the public when not in use by district athletics, though residents need to request permission from the high school to get access. The project will come up for second reading on August 4th. For renderings, find this story on our website, canbyfirst.com. Stacy Flinger was sworn in as the newest member of the Clackamas County Sheriff's Posse last week, adding a new chapter to a long history of service by her family that goes back to World War II. Flinter is a third-generation member of the Posse, an all-volunteer organization that engages in a number of charitable and search and rescue efforts throughout the area, typically with an equine bent. The Posse is perhaps best known today for patrolling the park lot of Clackamas Town Center on horseback each year during the holiday, but they're also one of the largest participating organizations in the Clackamas County 4-H and FFA Livestock Auction at the Clackamas County Fair and are a fixture in many area parades. The group saddles up for search and rescue efforts, and during emergency situations like riding into action during last September's historic wildfires, and their Posse Equine Advocate Team, PEAT, helps the Sheriff's Office manage the county's many equine calls, helping to prevent countless unnecessary animal deaths. Posse members are well known for their equestrian prowess, performing throughout the Pacific Northwest and even appeared on the popular television show You Asked For It in the 50s. Flinter's grandfather joined the group in 1942, and her father, Vern Hullett, a Canby legend and, in the words of the Clackamas County Sheriff's Office this week, Posse royalty. He's served with the group for over half a century, watching it take on roles ranging from widely renowned drill team to a cowboy polo team to a search and rescue volunteer unit to charitable organization to holiday patrol fixture, among many other incarnations. The CCSO said of Hullett, a retired animal nutritionist and seed wholesaler by trade. Hullett also served almost 2 decades as director of the Portland Rose Festival, and he and Flinter have been credited with the development of the modern parade equestrian display. The festival's annual award for outstanding preparation and excellence in equestrian presentation is named after him, and he and Flinter were honored as Grand Marshals of the 2019 parade, leading a float that declared him heroes of the Rose Festival. It was Hillett's 60th year participating in the festival. Flinter herself began working on the parade at age 14 as a junior scooper, retired 2 trophies in the equestrian costume class, and was named Festival Volunteer of the Year a few years ago. She has headed the parade's equestrian division for 2 decades. Hullett, who is now 89, was on hand this week to watch Flinter continue his legacy, being sworn into the Posse by Undersheriff Michael Copenhaver. Said Flinter, quote, I promise to do my absolute best to carry on the tradition and uphold the honor and privilege of membership in this long-standing organization. Three Clackamas residents are displaced after a fire broke out at their home on Southeast Roots Road early Friday morning. Clackamas Fire District personnel responded to the scene shortly after 5:30 a.m. Heavy smoke was seen billowing from the property from a distance, firefighters said, and they arrived to find the home fully involved. Flames had also spread to a nearby shed. All occupants escaped the home without injury. One firefighter sustained a minor injury, Clackamas fire officials said. Investigators were on the scene Friday to determine the cause of the fire, but no information has yet been released. Officials reminded residents to have working smoke alarms in every bedroom in their home. They should also be outside each sleeping area and on every level of the home, and should be tested monthly.
Hey, James, what's going on with the internet? The Wi-Fi is all spotty.
Well, is it your internet or the Wi-Fi?
What are you talking about? Aren't they the same thing?
Well, kind of, but no. You see, your home or office accesses the internet through underground fiber cables from DirectLink. It's actually your Wi-Fi router that converts that internet connection into an over-the-air signal for all your wireless devices.
Okay, you lost me at kind of?
Why do we even try? Look, you have seen like a box-looking device around the studio here. It's probably hidden under, it's under a thick layer of dust.
No, I don't. Oh, wait, is it that blinky flashy thing behind the stack of old pizza boxes?
Yeah, yes, it's the blinky flashy thing. That's the Wi-Fi equipment that connects your iPad, your PlayStation, and the laptop to the internet.
I bought that off Craigslist like 8 years ago.
Frankie, I think we just found your problem. Your Wi-Fi equipment is ancient. Electronics, they get old fast. And even when new software updates or faster broadband comes out, your old router just can't keep up. It's like expecting a Model T to outpace those new F-150 Lightnings.
Great. So now I have to make Tyler go buy, I have to go buy a whole new Wi-Fi setup? How does he, I even know what to get?
Look, I'm gonna make it simple. Just call DirectLink, man. Their professional grade Wi-Fi equipment is super affordable, and they'll manage the updates and the network security for you. They'll even help you install your new router in the perfect spot to get the strongest possible signal. You can visit directlink.coop/Wi-Fi to get started.
Well, that sounds great. I'm going to make Tyler call DirectLink today. Hi, Heather. Welcome back.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Not busy at all.
No, not at all.
Absolutely. And we're talking about it. Are they going to drive by? And it's just as soon as we started, one of your hardworking staff members out here. But we are obviously on site at Swan Island Dahlias. You've got so much going on this August and September.
We're so excited.
Yeah. It's really cool. We're very excited for you. We're excited to be part of it, excited to have this back in the community. We have a big interview that we're going to tease here coming on August 6th. We'll probably do live with you and your dad, Nicholas Gitt of Swan Island fame. And we're really going to dig into the festival, some of the changes this year, dealing with COVID and all that, and just all the attractions that you have out here. But what we wanted to do earlier, because there's signups active now and we don't want people to miss the opportunity, is talk about some of the classes. And you guys basically have a rotating restaurant out here at this point.
We do. I'm so excited. We're going to have food carts here every Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Yes.
And so it's going to be fun. Yeah. Two months. So August and September, lots of choices.
Yep. Yeah. Very cool. Can you tell us a little bit about who we're going to see here?
So we have Chop Chop, which has been with the farmer's market.
Yep.
On Fridays during the farmer market, there will be other food vendors that come and go. But we've scheduled specifically like on Thursdays, Saturdays, and Sundays, different vendors that are going to rotate.
Okay.
So there'll be Chop Chop Portland, which is amazing, fun, unique food.
It's like they're like these chicken bowls with like the whole kitchen sink thrown in. It's really and then like topped with gravy. It's like this weird thing when you first hear it, you're like, that can't be good. It's amazing.
Amazing.
Just try it once.
Right.
If you hate it, you can blame me, but you probably won't.
Like, my husband says it's Chinese food with cheese.
Yes.
So it's the best.
And you can do it low carb. A lot of us are doing low carb now.
Yeah,
so,
and vegan. They've got good options.
Yeah.
We have the pint sized pub house, which will be serving up some yummy mimosas. Beers and ciders, which is really exciting.
Very cool.
We rotate pretty much each weekend is just about a different food cart coming and going. So we've got some Hawaiian food coming later. Mm. We've got a wrap. It's called Wrap Around Town, which is different wraps.
Yeah.
We've got burgers and sausages.
Right. And everything they say is a wrap.
They
never stop wrapping.
Right,
so it's
exactly.
Like, it's like a wrap battle. They diss you. You diss them. It's real fun.
Right. We have a brand new vendor that just signed up, Jackpot Foods, which is going to be part of the Oregon City Food Cart Pod.
Oh, cool.
And he's going to be here later, actually on Mondays and Tuesdays at the end of September. So I'm kind of excited. So we kind of have just a mix of all kinds of foods.
Yeah.
We have an Asian food vendor that'll have noodles, Oriental foods, which is going to be delicious.
Yeah.
I'm just excited because food will be on site
nonstop. Yeah. And your dining room just can't be beat.
Right. Exactly. You've got the best view.
Yeah.
Lots of picnic tables.
Did you mention, Heather, that the Friday food carts will be part of a mini farmer's market? Not even mini, really.
Not even mini,
That's happening out here.
We're so excited.
It's a branch off of the Canby Farmer's Market.
Correct. Yeah. So we are hosting a new farmer's market.
Yeah.
So every Friday from 9 to 4 in our parking lot will be a farmer's market, which will include food vendors, but lots of other craft and produce and different vendors. So we're excited right here. I mean, what a gorgeous place.
Yeah, very cool. Okay, awesome. Well, definitely check that out, guys. And then there's also some classes coming up, which is really cool. And it's something that you've done before, but like greatly expanded, right?
Right. Yeah. In the past, during our traditional six-day festival, we did put on some seminars or lectures for people to listen and learn. And
Sounds thrilling.
One was really exciting. People have always enjoyed, and I've always had a good turnout, as a flower arranging class that I've done.
Sure.
And I've always been asked, will I ever do it where they can take the class along? Yeah. And you know what? COVID has created a lot of different things for us. And one of that is thinking outside the box. So this year we decided, since we can't do our indoor festival, that we should put on these classes. So I am giving people the opportunity to come and take a class and flower arrange with me and let me share all my hints and tricks to the trade while they learn to flower arrange at the same time. So we've got all kinds of classes. We've got Branch and Cord, which is making these beautiful rope rainbows, and she's out of Wilsonville that'll be on site putting on a couple classes. Mm-hmm. Board and Brush out of Portland putting on, you can buy a take-home kit to do it, or you can stay here and do it on site.
Yeah.
You don't even have to register for that one. That one will just, you would see the dates on our website, and then you can just show up on those times.
Awesome.
We're working with Art-O-Matic here in Canby, the new art gallery, with some really fun artists putting on some classes. So there is
one that
is a mandala dot painting coming up. There's going to be a vase painting class, and there is a beautiful painting of acrylics of dahlias. Mm. So we've got some really fun classes with them.
And again,
I'm just really excited.
A great place for
outside.
A great place for artists. Like,
it's incredible. It should help us all get a little creative.
Why did it take 50 years? No, I'm kidding.
Right? You know, COVID made us have to make some changes, and here we are. I'm really excited. I mean, the response so far has been incredible. The classes that require sign up need to be done 3 days in advance from the class time.
Yeah.
And they're through Eventbrite. So you would definitely want to get on our website and click through and sign up if you plan to do that, or even interested in finding more out about them.
Awesome. And people can do that how?
Just go to our website at dahlias.com.
Yep.
And then when you're there, you're going to click on the Visit Us and click on the events at our farm, and then you'll see the listing and you can click on, and it'll take you right through the sign up process.
Very cool. Well, thanks so much, Heather. We will talk to you again next week.
Sounds great.
Joining us now is Donna Ellison of Ellison Team Homes, a firm serving all across the Portland metro area with three realtors based right here in Canby. Donna, can you tell us how Ellison Team Homes started?
I started in real estate. I grew up with my dad. He was a realtor.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a second generation broker, and I grew up with him on weekends. And I learned a lot eventually working with him for several years and then going out on my own. Our family moved to Canby a couple of years ago, but we really didn't know how it was going to go. And within the first probably 3 months of being here, we literally fell head over heels in love with this place. We love the community, the spirit here. The first Christmas at Waite Park, I was literally crying because everybody was walking around saying Merry Christmas and people were drinking hot chocolate, and we got in a carriage ride with the horse, and it was just too much. You just realize it's special here. Real estate's always been my passion. It is my professional love. I enjoy the people, the relationships. So much comes out of kind of the intensity that you spend with people. You're really up in their business for a period of time, and sometimes it's a couple months, sometimes it's a couple years. Sometimes it's a lifetime.
Yeah.
I feel very blessed at this point to have people that have been with me for almost my entire career. Mm-hmm. Clients that have bought and sold maybe 2, 3, 4, or 5 homes. I have one client that's bought and sold 8 homes with me.
Yeah.
3 generations. It's a beautiful business. It makes for a very full life.
Mm-hmm. How can people find you?
How can they not, really? we have a website, www.ellisonteamhomes.com.
Well, thank you, Donna.
Thank you for having me.
Police Beat for June 29th through July 12th. On June 29th at 10:25 a.m., suspect arrested on an outstanding warrant for providing false information to a police officer and public indecency. Because why not, right? If you're doing other stuff, might as well do it naked. On June 30th at 10 a.m., report of hit and run damage to a parked vehicle. You know, I was just saying how it's been too long since we've gone after those parked vehicles, and here I am, you know, seeing it coming back around. So thanks, Camby. Thanks for keeping it up. At 8:27 p.m., after learning through social media that a potential crime had occurred, a suspect was located and arrested on an unrelated felony warrant for felon in possession of a firearm and possession of methamphetamine. That's some straight, like Minority Report stuff, but with Facebook. On July 2nd at 1:30 a.m., a driver was arrested for DUI and for furnishing alcohol to a person under 21, like a dumb person. At 11:32 p.m., a speeding driver was arrested on an outstanding Marion County warrant for attempting to elude. On July 4th, America's birthday, at 1 a.m., a driver attempted to elude a police officer and was arrested. His uninsured vehicle was impounded. And then we all celebrated America's birthday, so it was great. On July 5th at 1:14 a.m., response to a report of an unknown person throwing fireworks into a dumpster, which ignited a trash fire. I mean, for real? That seems so insane. You know what? I don't know anymore. 4:46 p.m., response to a report of a person removing parts from a bike locked at a bike rack. The suspect was cited for theft and criminal mischief. On July 6th at 6:16 a.m., response to a report of a hit-and-run damage to a parked vehicle. Of course, if we're going to celebrate the new, you know, America's birthday, why not hit parked vehicles? At 6:40 p.m., driver arrested for DUI. July 8th at 11:08 p.m., driver arrested for DUI. While the driver was being taken into custody, a second intoxicated individual decided it was a good idea to just show up and start interfering with police officers. So they were also arrested. On July 10th at 8:35 a.m., report of an individual had just broke the window of a vehicle and gained entry when officers arrived. The suspect fled on foot, but the cops have cars and apprehended him, obviously, and then arrested him on outstanding Clackamas County and Jackson County warrants, and obviously for attempting to elude police officers. Criminal mischief. At 1:37 p.m., response to a report of hit-and-run damage to a parked vehicle. Of course, we had to end the day with that. An officer located the hit-and-run driver and at their residence was able to book them for that. That's fun. Great. So how do we end this? Oh, July 12th? Oh, at 9:28 p.m., there was another hit-and-run damage to a parked vehicle. Great. That's fun. Let's take them all out, Camby. Every single parked vehicle. Just hit and run. Leave no trace. I'm out.
Tyler, did you know that the Australian lyrebird can mimic any sound that it hears?
even chainsaws?
No, that's super interesting.
Did you know that a baby puffin is called a puffling?
Or no.
That baby sea otters can't swim, so their moms wrap them up in pieces of kelp until they learn how to paddle.
Wait, do you know any trivia that isn't like animal related?
Not really, but here's some stuff you may not know about the Wild Hare Saloon, where Camby goes to eat and have fun.
Okay.
The Wild Hare is one of Camby's longest running locally owned restaurants. Owners Joan and Darren Moden have been in business for 16 years.
That's cool.
Yeah, heck, you were just a baby back then.
Wait, what?
And they love to give back. They've been members of the Camby Chamber for that long, and they donate over $20,000 to local sports, FFA programs, and civic organizations each year.
Wow, I'm legitimately like caught off. That's cool.
Yeah. They also support more than 30 jobs in the community through their award-winning staff, some of them as young as 18. Hey, that's older than you are.
Dude, I'm 10 months younger than you.
With the days getting longer and the weather getting warmer, the Camby Wild Hare's expansive outdoor patio is the place to be. Furry friends, welcome.
Well, that sounds great. I'm going to go check them out just off of Highway 99E next to the Space Age in Camby at 1656 Beaver Creek Road in Oregon City or on their website at thewildhairsaloon.net. Now Hear This Camby is produced by me, Tyler Clausen. Our content director and star reporter is Tyler Frankie. And of course, our show is edited by Cameron Clausen. We also feature the vocal talents of Joy Struby and James Walden. So a round of applause to them. The song that you're hearing right now is Camby by singer-songwriter Olivia Harms, used with her permission. To find more work from her, you can visit her website, olivia13.com.
Now Hear This Camby is dedicated to preserving independent local journalism and redefining local news with our fun, fresh, and energetic brand of storytelling. Our sincere thanks to our local sponsors who make this show possible. Please show your appreciation by supporting the small businesses who support us.
The production of Now Hear This Studios, Camby's locally owned, full-service audio, video, and media production company. Our mission is to produce the best content in the universe. And we'd love to help you do it. Find us online at nhtstudios.com.
I will take a motion to adjourn.
I just moved it.
I didn't even ask for it, though.